I have to apologize. I do my best to remove Shemot from the source sheets. I missed one, so when you're done, if you don't want to keep the source sheet, you can just put it on the side, and I will put it in. I'll take care of putting it in Shemot. So just put it on the side, and I'll do that. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to try to understand a bit, and if at any point I'm not loud enough because the fair starts getting loud, tell me and I'll move to the microphone. But at the moment, everyone can hear me? Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the season of Tshuva, and I want to do that through the lens of Tehillim 27, Perek Chav Zayin, the chapter of Tehillim that we have accustomed to say starting Rosh Chodesh Elul, starting on the first day of the month of Elul, the beginning of the repentance season, the Tshuva season, and that we stay until the end of the season, until we reach Shmini Atzeret. And I want to try to understand what it is about this chapter, what the themes of this chapter are, such that it's the proper thing to say to get us in the mood and keep us in the mood of tshuva, of repentance, of getting close to God. So first let's read it inside. I've given it to you here in number one, the Hebrew on top and the English right underneath. And I've divided the chapter into, into two and a half. And we're going to come to why I did that. That wasn't just for space reasons, but that was to make things clear. But first, let's read it once through. And then we're going to try to analyze it, try to figure out what's strange about it, and try to get at its core messages. So, L'David Adonai Orivi Ishi Mimira Adonai Maoz Chayai Mimi Evchad. Of David, the Lord is my light and my help. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? B'krov alai mirayim lecholet b'sari tzarai v'oivayli heimak hashlu v'nafalu. When evil men assail me to devour my flesh, it is they, my foes and my enemies, who stumble and fall. Im tachaneh alai machaneh lo yira libi. Should an army besiege me, my heart will have no fear. Should war beset me, still I would be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. Only that do I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to frequent His temple. Ki yitzbineni b'suko b'yom ra'a, yastireni b'seter ha'alo, b'tzur yirom imeni. He will shelter me in His pavilion on an evil day. Grant me the protection of His tent, raise me high upon a rock. V'ataya rum roshi eloi v'ayis v'votai v'zvechav v'alo zivchei trua, ashir v'azamra l'adonai. Now is my head high over my enemies round about. I sacrifice in His tent with shouts of joy, singing and chanting a hymn to the Lord. Shema Adonai koli ekra v'chaneni v'aneni. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, have mercy on me, answer me. Lecha amar libi bakshu fanai et panecha Adonai afakesh. In your behalf, my heart says, seek my face, O Lord, I seek your face. Al taster panecha mimeni, al tadbar avdecha. Ezrati ayita al ticheni val tazvenu ayishi. Do not hide your face from me. Do not thrust aside your servant in anger. You have ever been my help. Do not forsake me. Do not abandon me, O God, my deliverer. Ki avivi mi azavuni v'adonai yasveni. Though my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will take me in. Horeini adonai darkech onecheni baruch mishor lemanjarirai. Show me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my watchful foes. Al tidneni benevish sarai, ki kamu viyade sheker, vivei chamas. Do not subject me to the will of my foes, for false witnesses and unjust accusers have appeared against me. Lulei emanti lirot betuv adonai beretz chayim. Had I not the assurance that I would enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? I look to the Lord, be strong and of good courage, O look to the Lord. And it's a beautiful, rousing chapter. And even just without even analyzing, you understand why it's getting you in the mood. It expresses our hope and our confidence in God and that He'll take care of us. But the question is, what really is its theme and why is this what captures the essence of this season of tshuva? Now the truth is that if you look at number three, the sages and the Midrash see hints to this season in the words itself, and they write, Ori, what does it mean that God is my light? When is He my light? Barosh Hashanah, Shu Yom Adin. God is my light on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of justice. And they quote a verse, that He will cause your vindication to shine forth like the light. The justice of your case is like the noonday sun. V'yishi, and what day is God my salvation? V'yom HaKippurim, Shiyoshieni v'imcholanu al kol avanoteinu, because He will save us and He'll forgive us of our sins. B'krov alai mireim. And then they continue and they say, what is happening? If you just look at the English, so they continues, when evil men assail me, these are the nations of the world to eat my flesh, for they come to accuse Israel on the day of judgment. It is they, my foes and my enemies. Satan has the numerical value of 364, which is a year minus one, for the Satan can always obstruct Israel except for Yom Kippur. The Holy One, blessed be He, says, you have no authority to touch them. Still see what they are involved in when He goes. When you see them fasting in prayer, dressed in white, wrapped like the ministering angels, He immediately turns back in embarrassment and shame, right? Satan tries to come and accuse us and get God to sentence us to a bad year, and God says, look at them, look at what my children are doing, they're praying, they're fasting, they're doing all the right things. Satan looks and he says, I have nothing left to say. And he says, they're like the ministering angels and I cannot touch them. Immediately God tolerates him and tells him, I've forgiven you, I've forgiven the Jews. And in another passage, they suggest that perhaps this alludes to Aaron, to the high priest when he would come into the Beit HaMikdash. So Chazal see even a hint in the words that this season is, Ori v'Yishi, is the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that it still doesn't get to the theme of L'David Hashem Ori. And that's really what I want to focus on. Not just these hints, but what is it about this chapter that gets us in the mood of the season of repentance? So let's go back to the chapter itself. We've read it. But does anyone notice anything strange? Is there anything weird? Strike you as just jarring about this chapter? If I asked you, I'll ask a leading question first, okay? If I asked you, what's the theme? What's the tone? What's the mood of the chapter? Hopeful, scared, confident, tense, anxious, loving, fearful. Right? What would you say?
All of it.
All of it. Right? All of it. That's good. Right? Which part is which? Hint, I've divided it here. Right? So, right? I've given to you a visual here. Right?
Well, hopeful, Lord is my light, so no matter what.
Yeah, right off the bat, the first half is hopeful, which is really weird, because the first half of it, the first six verses, are hopeful. With David, Hashem, Ori, V'yishi, God is my light, He is my salvation. Bikrov, Alai, Miriam, my enemies come, they come to eat my flesh, but they're going to fail. A war camp could come against me. Lo yirali bi, I would not be afraid. And then suddenly, Pasuk Zion, in the middle, Shema Hashem koli ekra v'chaneni v'ni, listen to me. My parents have abandoned me, but you've gathered me. And suddenly he's desperate, he's anxious, he's terrified, right? He's talking about being abandoned by the people who are supposed to take care of him. He's turning to God, Al Ticheni, Al Tazveni, don't abandon me, don't turn me away. It's not just that these are like two different psalms, right? You read the first six verses, God is my light, God is my salvation, no, nothing can hurt me, everything's perfect. And the other half of it is, I'm terrified, don't leave me, please God, where are you going? Right? I need you. It's also written backwards. Right? There's sort of a logical progression of things, right? You could start off and say, I'm scared, right? I turn to someone, he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you, and you start to get a little bit more relaxed. It's very strange that you start off and you say, all is perfect, all is good, God is my light, God is my savior, I don't have anything to fear. And then, 20 seconds later, don't leave me, don't abandon me, right? The whole chapter. It's not just that there's two different, it's like two different chapters of Tehillim, of Psalms. The whole thing is written in reverse order. Right? It starts off with this confidence, this exuberance. And the second half of it, suddenly, David HaMelech is petrified. What?
Was it written at the same time?
So here's one of the questions of Tehillim, right? We have to ask, well, maybe to understand, we got to figure out where it's written, when it's written. And I gave you here in two, that Chazal suggests all types of things. So some suggest that, well, Tehillim, right, we generally ascribe it to David, right, to King David, but the Midrash notes that's not fully true, meaning David compiled Tehillim, but he drew on earlier poetry, religious poetry. And the Midrash suggests that there were 10 authors, right? Some of it was written by Adam Rishon, right, by Adam, by the first person who lived. Some of it is written by Moshe, right? Some is written by Moses, some is written by, and it goes through all types of people who wrote it. So the Midrash, drawing on that, suggests that, yes, David may have compiled this, but maybe he's drawing on the splitting of the sea. Right? Maybe this was something that they were being chased by the Egyptians, and they turned to God and they said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, we're going to be thrown into the sea. And they said, don't abandon us. They suggest perhaps it's the war with Amalek. Or if you want to go to David's own life, so some of the Mefarshim suggest maybe this is a personal prayer of David. So David had a hard life, as anyone who's ever read his stories knows, right? He is a consequence for his sin with Bathsheba. God decrees he's going to have a bit of a difficult life. So at one point, one of his sons, right, Avshalom, rebels against him, tries to usurp the throne, chases him out of Jerusalem, right, rapes his wives, right? Terrible situation. David's fleeing for his life. So some of the Mefarshim suggest that David is turning to God during the flight from Avshalom. Earlier, when David first becomes king, he's replacing Shaul, he's replacing King Saul, and Saul chases him. Saul is not just, you know, the king, but he's also his father-in-law, right? And now he's running from his father-in-law, and his wife sometimes has to protect him against her father, right? Story after story, as some suggest, this is when he's fleeing from Saul. So some of the Mefarshim suggest, some of the commentaries suggest that this is what he says as he's about to go and fight Goliath. Right, he's this little tiny, this shepherd, and there's the giant Goliath over there, and he's just petrified, so he starts singing out to God and saying, you know, I need you. Some suggest that this is drawing on Moshe at the eagle, right? They go through historical event after historical event. The truth is, they could all be true. And as I like to suggest on Tehillim that the way that David used Tehillim is the same way we use Tehillim, right? When we say Tehillim, we don't ask the question, when was it written? We say, there was a terrorist attack here, we have a sick relative, whatever. And we pick a psalm that resonates with us. And it could be that some of the verses aren't tailored to the event that we're talking about now, to the suffering we're in now, but we pick something that resonates with us. I think when Chazal tell you, when the sages tell you that David is compiling earlier poetry, they're saying that there's a historical level to it, but they're meant to be eternal poetry. So it may be true that David wrote it when he was fleeing from his son Avshalom, but there's still a meaning to it that's coherent, even if you're not fleeing from your son trying to usurp your throne, which is safe to guess no one in this room has experienced that, right? For so many reasons, right? If someone is royalty, you can tell me afterwards, right? We can accord the proper respect. Yeah?
Is this hope and faith?
So, I mean, part of it is, in what sense? Meaning?
He is hopeful that whatever his complaints are, and he's pleading that he does believe.
Right, so that might be it, right? That he's at the beginning he expresses sort of the ideal hope that he has, and then the latter half is sort of the reality of that, you know, that he, but, you know, like I said, the weird thing about it is that it's out of order, right? Still, whatever we're going to say, whatever historical event we're going to talk about, it's still a bit weird, right? If we're going to, you know, if we're going to talk about it, I would have started with the lack of confidence, and I would have ended with the confidence, right? I'm scared, and then I think about it, God's with me, it's okay. Yeah?
Just that it being out of order, and the historical events that you mentioned are all kind of this type, where the confidence is the person who's about to face battle, who's speaking to other people, saying, don't worry, I got this. And then you have the private thoughts of, actually, I don't have this unless God's going to be with me.
So that's interesting, right? And I'm not going to come to firm conclusions. I want to, go through it. It could be, right? It could be that the experience of faith is that we have our private doubts and we express our confidence publicly, right? And that maybe this isn't out of order. This is, David saying, look, I'm going to tell everybody else I'm confident to give them a bit of hope. And then I'm going to go back to my tent and say, And you know what? There's a lot of that Yom Noraim, right? You get up. As a rabbi, you got to get up. You got to give. With Slicho, this is my third shiur in 10 hours, right? You got to get up. You got to give a rousing pre-Slicho there. And then you got to turn to your own tefillah, right? You've got to give people hope. You got to give people strength. You got to give people inspiration to pray to God. And then you've got to turn to your own prayers and say, wow, I can't believe I got through that. As if I'm confident this is all going to work out. I got my own problems to deal with. And it could be. Right? And if that's the case, that's a beautiful thing to think about during Yom Noraim, right? That we oscillate between this, between our public declarations of faith, our recognition that we have to strengthen each other, and our knowledge that when we, go home at night and we turn to our own tefillah, our own prayers, maybe there's a little bit of lack. I would suggest something very simple. Rav Amnon Bezak suggests something that's so simple, but I think so right, and so right for this season. He says, It's true. It's true. First half of this, David is confident. God is my light. God is my salvation. Halfway through, he's, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't leave me. I'm scared. He said, look, if Tehillim was about a rational, logical argument, you're right, the order makes no sense. Start with fear and go to confidence. But he said, Tehillim is an expression of our emotions. Emotions don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Right? It's not like you start off scared and then you think, oh, well, don't worry, God's going to take care of it. And suddenly all your fears dissipate and all your fears disappear and you're confident and you're strong. That's not how life works. Sometimes you start off confident, right? You come into Rosh Hashanah and you are just sure. L'David Hashem, Ori V'Yishi, God is my salvation. God, I did good this year. I was great. Right? I prayed with more intensity. I volunteered more. I did more chesed. I visited more sick people. I was nicer to my spouse. I was nicer to my kids. Right? You come in confident. Right? God, this year was great. I really put myself out. I took the inspiration. You were my light. You were my rock. I was looking out for you. You're with me, right? You get to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, and suddenly the Chazan is saying in his mournful tune, he's saying Unisana Tokef. And he's saying who's going to live and who's going to die. And he says who's going to be killed by a flood. And suddenly images of Irma and Harvey flash through your mind, and all that confidence in a minute disappear. And suddenly you realize, I could be as confident as I want, but what, were the people who lived in Houston, the people in Miami, am I better than all of them? And look what happened to them. I remember, one of these images that will be emblazoned in my mind forever was when I was, in 2001, so I was 13, right? And I went, and I grew up in New York, so 9/11 is a week before, whatever it was, a week or two before Rosh Hashanah, right, in Staten Island. I woke up September 12th, and there was smoke, and there was dust, which had floated straight over the water. If you know anything about Staten Island, it feels farther from Manhattan than it is, but it's not that far, right over the water. It's 14 miles straight over water. Right, you take the ferry, and you get straight to the island. And I remember waking up the next morning, right? My father worked in the trade centers, right? I had a few hours, my father didn't make it out of the city. My mother was under the building, right? Because my mother was, her bus had stopped. She ran from downtown Manhattan into Brooklyn. I wake up the next morning, little 13-year-old kid, and there's smoke that floated over from it. And a week or two later, we're davening Rosh Hashanah with a bunch of New Yorkers. And we say, mi yichyeu, mi yamud, mi ba'esh, and suddenly the whole place is crying, right? People who'd never cried on a Rosh Hashanah, never been moved, suddenly they had images that attached to those words, and they're crying, and they're tearing, and they're screaming. Right? I'll never forget that Rosh Hashanah, because you know what? You can have all the confidence in the world, the David Hashem, Ori V'Yashi, and then something shakes you and something reminds you that you're mortal, and it all breaks down. So Rav Bazak says, you know what? That one of the themes you've got to take when you come to the Yamim Noraim is that life just isn't that simple. It's not always so easy that I start with, I don't have hope, so I'm going to pray, and then God's going to answer me, and I'm going to be confident, it's going to be okay. Sometimes you oscillate. You start with confidence. You start feeling all is going to be good, and then something over Yom Noraim, something Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, just triggers a memory. It triggers an image, and it all breaks down. And that's okay. And that's what, at some level, that simply is what is happening here in L'David Hashem Ori. We start with confidence, and then it breaks down, because at some level, that's what we want to do on the Yom Noraim. We're just waiting for something that's going to awaken us, something that's going to shake us from our slumber, right? From our routine, something that's going to remind us that we may think we've been so good, we may think everything's okay, but you need something to shake you, right? Everyone you see, you know, everyone is sharing articles. Everyone's just trying, searching for that thing that's going to get them emotionally, right? Emotionally, just feeling, right? To feel something. So we say, L'David Hashem Ori, we remind ourselves that sometimes we start with confidence, but that's a facade, that deep down there's something, and that's okay. Right? That faith is like that. It's not always rational. That's one level. But let's look at how it's developed. I gave you in four. It's not just the first half expresses confidence, the second half doesn't. And this might come back to what Mrs. Witte said before. The first half where we express confidence is in third person. He's not talking to God. He's talking about God. God is my salvation. God is my hero. God protects me. So then he talks all detached. Faith is all good. Second half is second person. Right? Pasuk Zion, when everything breaks down, is when he turns to God. And he says, Shema Hashem Koli. He turns. He doesn't talk about God. He talks to God. And that might be part of it also. That, yeah, it's very easy to talk faith, to talk confidence when you're talking about God. But once you talk to God, you remember that things aren't that simple. When it's not nice philosophical ideas, but you actually engage God. When you actually have a relationship, Shema Hashem Koli, suddenly you're crying, suddenly you are vulnerable. Because that's what relationships are all about. Right? That's what relationships are all about. Right? We all know that, you know, planning a simcha is really stressful. Right? And we all know that you get to the simcha and everyone has their best face on and everyone is up there thanking their spouse. You were perfect through the whole thing. And we all know that there must have been a fight somewhere through it. And there might be a fight tonight. You all know that. It's very easy when you're talking to everybody else and you're talking theoretically to say, we're so happy, I'm glad I reached this moment. But when you're in the stress of it, right, and you're, you know, and emotions are tense, and you have all these mixed emotions, right? It's so easy, right, to feel stressed out and to feel lost. And that's the difference of the first half and the second half, right? The first half is the guy giving the speech. God is my light, God is my savior, God's confidence. At some level, that's true. You really do mean it. It's not like you don't mean it when you get up to the speech and say, thank you to my spouse for being there for me. But it's also viscerally real that you were stressed out, and sometimes you fought, and sometimes you were vulnerable, and sometimes you broke down crying from the stress, because when you're in relationship and you're behind closed doors and you're talking to your beloved, you're talking to someone who you're intimate with, and all that confidence, all that face that you can put on falls away. And that's also something to think about during the Yom Noraim, that it's not about what you can say to everybody else. It's about forging a relationship with God Himself. When you turn to Him and say, Shema Hashem Koli Ekran, you remember, this isn't, God isn't just a theoretical that you talk about in nice speeches, but it's somebody you turn to and you say, listen to me. Suddenly, you're vulnerable again. Suddenly, it's don't leave me. I need you. I need you so much. Even if it's true, He's with you, but you just feel right when you're talking to someone that you care about. And Yom Ha'Orayim, that's what we want to think about. We want to remember that God isn't just out there. He's someone we can talk to. And when you have a relationship, you're vulnerable. So the second half, when he turns to God, when David turns to God, suddenly he breaks down. And that's why the first half is so optimistic. And the second half is desperate. When you're talking in theory, great. But Yom Ha'Orayim, we want to push you. We want to break that down. We want you to feel vulnerable, desperate, to turn to God. And both are true. At some level, it could also be the difference between national and personal needs. Right? The first half, what is David talking about? David's saying, if an army came and besieged me, he's talking as king. If me, qua monarch, qua the representative of the people, so sure, I'll put on a good face, because as a nation, God's going to be here for us as a people. But I don't know if I'm going to survive the experience personally. It's very easy to talk in generalities about a nation, but when everyone else is gone, it's not about, are we going to win the war? It's, am I going to survive through this war? Right? Even if you're confident God would never give up on the Jewish people and He'll save the nation, it doesn't mean you're confident you're going to get through it. You could be sure that things are going to be good in general, but it's more than that. And also, you look, the first half, he's stating theological realities. In the second half, he's requesting. When you request, you don't put the rosiest picture, you put what you want. And when you're taught, once you start thinking about what you want, you remember that you need things. And that duality, all those dualities of recognizing our relationship with God as a nation, as an individual, recognizing sometimes we're confident, sometimes we're not, and recognizing it doesn't always happen in the right order, is all about the turbulence of Yomim Noraim that we're supposed to feel. But if you really want to understand it, you've got to look at a few more things. You have to realize this is part of a longer conversation. Look at number 5, just to give example. If you look at the parak before, the chapter before, it said, Saniti kamerim vimra shem lo eshev. Alta sofim chata im nashiv amanchidamim chayai. So what does that mean? You look at the next side, right? I detest the company of evil men and do not consort with the wicked. Do not sweep me away with sinners or snuff out my life with murderers. And if you look at the words that are used, right? David is talking about a development, right? In Chavav, in chapter 26, he says that he's not going to, I'm not amongst evil people. In 27, he's saying that there may be evil people, but I'm not scared of them, and I'm going to avoid them, right? Meaning, there's also processes, right? You've got to get to this point. Even the confidence here is part of a longer story. He says, "Al te'esofim chataim nafshi," right? Don't sweep me away with the sinners. That's a negative. He's saying, "Look, just don't sweep me in the with sinners," right? Just let's start with the negative. But by the time he gets to 27, he's built a little bit more hope, and he says, "Vashem ya'asveni," but gather me up to you, right? We go through, we build. Right, that's part also of our experience. If you look, skip for a moment to 8. Even just to look, it's not just that there are two halves here, but the two halves are reflective of each other. I gave you the chiasm, right? Chiasm from the Greek letter, right? Chi, like an X. Right? They're actually reflective of each other. Because you look at the first half. The first half, David says, he says his enemies will fail. In the second half, when he's desperate, you can just follow the circle, he says, it's not just that he's confident in the first half and he's desperate in the second half. It's the exact same things that he was confident about 10 minutes ago, he's desperate about now. Before he said, my enemies won't touch me, now he says, don't let my enemies touch me. It's not just the same things that we were confident about, we lose hope in when we think about it. Right? We feel vulnerable about. In the first half, he says, Achat sha'altim eid Hashem otah avakesh. In the first half, he says, I only want one thing. That is what I want, that I should be in the house of God. In the second half, he says, L'chamar libi bakshu fanai panech Hashem avakesh. I'm begging for your presence, right? In the first half, he says, I found it. In the second half, he says, I want it. The same thing I was sure I had. In the first half, I'm not sure I have anymore, so I need to pray for it. It's not just that we feel that we oscillate between confidence and desperation about different things, right? It's not just like I'm confident about my health, but I'm not confident about the fact that I'm going to have a job. Sometimes I'm pretty comfortable with my job, but I see people in my same field who are getting outsourced with the same amount of experience. And I may be convinced of my job, but, you know, that I have my job, but maybe I'm not. Right? I may be convinced that I'm healthy, but I know that people who look just as healthy as me went to the doctor and, surprise, right? There was something terrible going on. I know that even those very things that I'm confident about, maybe I shouldn't be confident about. It's not just that they're reflective. It's that it's the same things that I thought I had confidence about. Maybe I don't. And what is in the middle? What combines the two halves? Shema Hashem Koli Ekra V'chaneni V'naneni is just that simple turn to God. Listen to me. The second you turn to God and you express that you're vulnerable, everything is turned on its head. Everything is mirror image. Everything you were confident about, you express the desperation. Rav Bazak notes that really there aren't two halves to it. There are three sections. You look back at the beginning, I divided it. The transition really happens in verse 4, which is when he started requesting. Achat sha'altim eid Hashem. What reminds us that we need God the second we start asking? Right? Even though in the first half he's still pretty confident. Achat sha'altim eid Hashem, otah avakesh, ki yitzvaneni misuko biyom ra, etc. Even though he's still pretty confident in the first half, the desperation starts gnawing at him as soon as he starts requesting. As soon as we're willing to express the fact that we need something, the vulnerability sets in. We start to engage in conversation. We start to remember how much we need God. So the David Hashem Ori works in this time of year because it's this beautiful expression on the one hand of our confidence in God, of our hope in God. On the other side, it's a poignant prayer to God, please give us that relationship, take care of us. But it's constructed in such a way that it reminds us that our religious experience is complex. That sometimes we have confidence, but we just look for that one thing that's going to shake us. We try to remember that we really are vulnerable, because it's so easy. We try so much not to be vulnerable. We try so hard not to feel scared. We try so hard to tell ourselves the whole year, it's going to be good, it's going to be good. But Yom Narayim is the time when we just have to shake ourselves for a minute and remind ourselves, everything is hanging in the balance. You really do need God. You may have a lot to thank Him for. It may be good to be confident, but sometimes shake yourself out of that. Be vulnerable. Ask God. Say that all those things I'm confident in, maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I should remember that life is fragile. And yes, sometimes I'm going to be elated and I'm going to say, Hashem, Ori V'Yishi, God is my light. And sometimes I'm going to say, but what if something happens? And I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to say, please, please don't abandon me. And Yom Narayim is that time when we oscillate between our confidence that God is with us and our recognition that things are difficult and things could change in an instant. And therefore, as confident as we are and as happy as we are and as lucky as we are, we turn to God and say, but don't give up on me. Don't let me go. And that complexity, that emotional back and forth, where the same things that we were confident about just a minute ago are the same things that plague us and make us turn to a God and cry and say, please, please, please. The same things that in nice speeches we can say to other people, all is good, thank God, all is good. Yom Kippur is the time we turn to God in a relationship, in dialogue. And when you're talking to someone you care about, and you're talking to someone who has a relationship with you, suddenly everything isn't so simple. And that's the emotions we're trying to bring out. That's the experience of Yom Kippur, of engaging God in conversation, of being vulnerable, of being in a relationship. And what sums up the entire thing, and this will end, Achad she'alti me'ed Hashem otah v'akei shifti b'veid Hashem kol yimei chayai. One thing I've asked, and the Malbim says something fascinating. He says, normally, you ask for something, but as a means to an end. I want to have a good life, and I need to be healthy to do that. So I ask God so I can be healthy, so I can enjoy time with my family. Right? Health is a means to a good life. But think about the words here. Achad she'alti me'ed Hashem, oto avakesh. There's one thing I want, and it is the solution. I want a relationship with God that's both the means and the ends. My end goal is I want a relationship with God. But I also need a good life so that I can spend the time being religious. I can spend the time talking to God. I can spend the time with my family. And how am I going to get that? With a relationship with God. There's no means and ends. The end goal is a relationship with God. And if you have a relationship with God, then everything else will come with it. And that notion that there are many things in life that are means to an end, but the one thing that is a mean and a means and an end. Achad she'alti me'ed Hashem ota avakesh shifti b'veid Hashem kol yimei chayai. That same thing that's my end goal is the same thing that'll give me the confidence that everything will work out. There's only one thing in life that is means and ends all mixed up into one, and that is the recognition that I'm in the house of God. If you actually engage God, if He actually brings you into His home, you're actually in His shadow, then everything else falls into place. Now, that's very hard to say, and we've talked about that for the last half an hour, that saying that is really easy, feeling it is totally different, experiencing it, making it real is totally different. But as the season of tshuva rolls around, as the Yom Kippurim roll around, that's what we remind ourselves. That in the end of the day, we have one goal in life, to be in conversation, relationship with God, and we recognize that not only is that the ends, but if we really succeeded, if we really were in God's house, that everything else would come with it. Because our relationship with God is the be-all and end-all of a religious existence, as difficult as it is. And with all that complexity, all the emotional complexity that's wrapped up in this perek, we say it twice a day, from the beginning of El to the end of the season, to remind us of the beauty and complexity of our intimate and emotional relationship with God. May we all be zochet to Hashana Tova, Ktiva v'Chatima Tova, and may we be able to really feel that intimate relationship with God and feel the confidence even when sometimes we feel that things are difficult, and recognize that all we want is Shifti V'Eid Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, and please God will allow us to do that.